Well, you'd find it useful if you've got your Bible there, because I'd like to go through this account of the Lord Jesus Christ and his meeting with Bartimaeus. We'll go through it through the verses and consider what is going on here and how we need to respond, whether we are Christians or whether we are people who have never come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour. So, picking up here at the very beginning, verse 46, as he, Jesus, went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. Well, unlike those people you may encounter in Canterbury or London who profess to be homeless and hungry, beggars in Israel at the time of our Lord's ministry really were genuinely homeless and hungry, and they were totally dependent upon the giving of alms to survive. Well, during my travels in Eastern Europe, I've certainly seen plenty of beggars whose situation is far worse than those people in Canterbury. A few months ago, when I was in Romania with our friends Danny, Pastor Danny, and on, I think it was a Thursday or something like that, it might have been a Wednesday, we were going to a Bible study at the church in San Nicola Mari, right out on the western part of Romania near the Hungarian border. And as we were going through a small village, there was a man on the side of the road in a wheelchair, and Danny pulled across to speak to him and gave him some money. And this man, I suppose he was in his late 20s, and he was in a pitiful condition. All I could really say is to describe him, his limbs were twisted, and if it seems a sort of an exaggeration, but it was true, that his legs were back to front, and he sat in this wheelchair. And as we drove away, I said to Danny, why is he here? I mean, don't you have social services that can help this man? You know, he's here on the side of the road. You know, where does he live? He said, well, he lives down that lane there in a shack. But he said, well, it's not like in the UK. We don't have the services that you have. And, of course, why people come to our country. He said he's dependent on people like us giving him a few coins, perhaps a few notes. He said the church do try and support people like this man. And he was clearly an intelligent man. He was certainly able to converse, but his body was twisted up. I guess something had happened while he was born. Well, that was, I think it was the Wednesday, and on the Sunday I was preaching at that church, and after the service it was the Harvest Thanksgiving, and as it happens in Romania, they know how to show hospitality. And I think it was about 10:30, 11 o'clock at night when we were coming back from the church having some refreshments after the service, and we'd spoken. And as we were going through the villages, and most of them are in complete darkness, you don't see anybody at that time of night, occasional stray dog, but there's no street lighting, so you go through village after village in complete darkness. And as we were going through one village, I thought, I think this is the village where we saw that man in the wheelchair. And as we were going out the village, I happened to look down to my left, and in the hedge, I just detected as a flash that in the darkness was this beggar still there. And I said to Danny, Danny, that man that you spoke to, that you gave money, he's still there. And Danny put the brakes on, and I said, why is he there? And he said, because he's waiting for me. He said, thank you for telling me. Spun the car round, and he said, the church has given me some money to give to him, and he's expecting me. And there it was. I think it was about 11 o'clock at night. This poor man was there waiting for a few, I think it was a few euro, to give to this man to help him through the next few days. That's the desperate state of the situation in parts of Europe. And so for Timaeus, his son, that was born probably with all these issues and especially without sight, life would have been very, very difficult in first century Israel. It really was survival of the fittest. Unless somebody was born into a family that was wealthy, loving, and could support them, then they had no resources to be able to care. Life would have been very, very harsh and no doubt short. The other thing that needs to be mentioned is this, and it helps us to understand why there was a general lack of compassion for beggars like Bartimaeus. And it's this, that most Jews, most religious Jews, thought a person's disabilities were the consequence of sin. And to show mercy was to interfere with God's punishment of that sin. And we see this illustrated in John's Gospel, John 9, 1 to 3. And we have in this, I'll just read it to you. It says, Now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. And so, though it was a beautiful city, it was the city of the rich and the religious, life for Bartimaeus in Jericho would have been very, very hard. He would have been totally dependent on the handouts of those who were passing by, particularly those who were on pilgrimage going up to Jerusalem. It was about a 6-hour walk uphill from Jericho to the city, which of course is why he would have been sat on the road going out of the city, because he was hoping that as people were starting out on pilgrimage, they would have dropped a couple of copper coins into his begging bowl. Now, no doubt that as he sat there on that spot, and remember, he was blind, so perhaps somebody took him there in the morning and placed him in that spot. But as he sat there day after day, he was hearing amazing stories from people travelling up to this capital. They were a mixture of merchants, but also, of course, critically, there were people there who were pilgrims. And he was hearing of these stories coming from the Galilee area, that Jesus of Nazareth, this great prophet, was healing people, the sick and the lame, that those suffering from leprosy were being cleansed, and even the dead were being raised to life. But in amongst all those stories, Bartimaeus heard something that would have commanded his attention. And it was this, that Jesus of Nazareth had given sight to the blind. I wonder about Bartimaeus as he heard those stories. He must have yearned that someone would have taken pity upon him and not just led him each morning to that spot by the road, but would have actually led him by the hand up into Galilee so that he could actually go and meet the Lord Jesus and speak to him and ask for a miracle. Well, the first point I want to make of three, it's this. The first point is the foundation of true faith is Scripture. Bartimaeus might have been blind. He might have been uneducated, and he probably was. But he wasn't an ignorant blind beggar. I think we have every reason to believe that Bartimaeus knew the Scriptures. Because he couldn't read them personally, he no doubt listened very attentively as he heard them read in the synagogue and as they were expounded by the rabbis. And what he heard Well, there was only one way that he could, as it were, appropriate them, and that was to memorize the scriptures. And I think this will become evident in a moment. I expect that the previous evening he had heard that Jesus of Nazareth was in town, and to everyone's absolute astonishment, he had spent the night at the home of a notorious sinner, Zacchaeus, the tax collector. The city would, of course, have been buzzing with that news that Jesus, holy, came into the city and had invited himself to the home of that scoundrel, Zacchaeus. And yet Zacchaeus had welcomed him, and there'd been an evident transformation in Zacchaeus's life. Well, what a wonderful thought to what had happened that evening. But no one took pity upon Bartimaeus by leading him to Jesus. Yes, Jesus was in town, but no one said to him, "Hey, Bartimaeus, take my hand. I'm going to take you over to where Jesus is staying at the home of Zacchaeus. Maybe you can get your own personal miracle." And so the following morning, he takes up his position on the road out of the city. And he's there, and he then hears a great hubbub of voices and of people moving. And there's a crowd approaching. And he asks somebody, "What's going on?" And somebody, in a moment of excitement, because normally they wouldn't even speak to such a man, they tell him that Jesus of Nazareth is passing through, heading up for Jerusalem. And soon all of this crowd is around him. And there are so many people that he can't even get up off the ground. And he's forced there to stay on the ground. Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. A once-in-a-lifetime occasion for blind Bartimaeus. And he is there, lying in the dust, being trampled upon by this huge crowd of people, each one of them wanting to speak to Jesus and to touch him. But you know, unlike the majority of that crowd, which would have been made up of pilgrims, religious people, and general hangers-on, unlike them, Bartimaeus had a great grasp of theology. And I think he had an especially developed Christology. What do I mean by that? Well, Christology, it's that branch of theology concerning the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth. Now, Bartimaeus, he was a Jew. And being a Jew, he would know what the scriptures had prophesied concerning the Messiah, God's anointed, the Christ. He had heard about Jesus, about his teachings, the things, the wonderful things that he was saying. He had heard about the miracles. And he had come to this conclusion: who would speak such gracious words and perform the most amazing miracles other than Israel's Messiah? And here are just a few things that Bartimaeus would have known about the Messiah. Four things, and there's many more that we could add to these, but these are four key things. First of all, he knew that the Messiah would be a prophet like Moses, Deuteronomy 18, 15 to 19. He also knew that the Messiah would be a descendant of David, 2 Samuel 7, 12 to 16. He knew that the Messiah would be a Nazarene, Isaiah 11, verse 1. And he knew that the Messiah would perform signs of healing, Isaiah 61, 1 to 2. I wonder, as he sat by that roadside, that over the weeks before Jesus came to Jericho, he'd been thinking about this. He'd been musing on what we know today as Isaiah 35, 5 to 6. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb sing. Concerning Messiah. And also John's disciples, John the Baptist, he'd sent them to Jesus saying, should we be looking for somebody else? And what did Jesus say? Jesus' own words in Luke 7:22. Go and tell John the things that you have seen and heard, that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have the gospel preached to them. You see, a profound understanding of Scripture inevitably results in a great faith. And that faith is founded on the expectation that all of God's promises to his people Israel would be realized in the Messiah. And that Bartimaeus had a profound understanding of Scripture and great faith is demonstrated by his desperate cry as he realizes that the long promised Messiah is about to pass him by. Now, when we read the Scriptures, because most of us are English and we're polite, we tend to read in a very measured way. But in Mark 10:47, it says this, and when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Of course he didn't. He said, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. If we compare the parallel accounts in Matthew 20 and 30, he says, have mercy on us, or the two men, have mercy on us, O Lord, son of David. And Luke's account in Luke 18 says, and he cried out saying, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And what is the response to his cry? Mark 10:48. Then many warned him to be quiet. We see here a shocking lack of pity and compassion for this poor blind beggar. And it begs the question in itself, why was it necessary for people in Jericho to beg when God's word gave clear instructions about helping the poor? This man is poor Bartimaeus, living in a city where there was wealth all around, the merchants, where there was religious people, and yet he was reduced to begging. And it says there that, as far as we can read into this, that there was religion, but there wasn't obedience to the Scriptures. Because Deuteronomy 15:7-8 says, if there is among you a poor man of your brethren within any of the gates in your land, which the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not harden your heart, nor shut your hand from your poor brother, but you shall open your hand wide to him, and willingly lend him sufficient for his need, whatever he needs. And in verse 11 of that passage in Deuteronomy 15, it says, for the poor will never cease from the land. Therefore I command you, saying, you shall open your hand wide to your brother, to your poor and your needy in your land. How sad it is that in this city of priests and Levites, there was a distinct lack of compassion for those afflicted with incurable diseases and life-limiting disabilities. Probably in that crowd that was closest to Bartimaeus, those that were on the outer edges, they were really irritated by his shouting. Can you imagine? They must have thought, well, who does he think he is? Be quiet. Jesus doesn't have time for you. Shut up. You're nothing but a filthy beggar. Isn't it ironic that this crowd, this huge crowd, is surrounding Jesus, the most kind, caring, compassionate man ever to have walked upon this earth. And yet they are annoyed by the cries of a desperate, blind beggar. And the second point that we can see in this is that a true faith cries out to Jesus Christ. Well, there he is on the ground, surrounded by this huge crowd. But is Bartimaeus intimidated by the disapproval of the crowd? Is he shamed into silence because he's only a blind beggar? Well, verse 48 says, but he cried out all the more. And the Greek word for cry is kradzo. It means to shout or even to scream, but certainly to cry out with a loud voice. And so this beggar, and we can hardly understand it because none of us are here are blind, but he's shouting out into the utter darkness of his blindness. He's surrounded by noise and darkness. And because he is blind, he's dependent upon his hearing to try and hear what's going on and to locate where Jesus might be. But all he hears in response to his desperate cry is the rebukes of those who believe that he's not entitled to speak with Jesus. He doesn't know where Jesus is in that massive crowd. He only knows that within the next few seconds, Jesus is going to pass by and never again return to Jericho. It's pitiful. It's heartbreaking. A blind beggar sprawled in the dust, surrounded by a massive crowd that are without compassion, without any pity for him. There he is, crying out in desperation, trying to attract the attention of the one person that he knows has the power to transform the rest of his life. And it's really interesting to note the depth of Bartimaeus's faith. Bartimaeus was physically blind. He had never seen Jesus. He'd never seen Jesus perform even one miracle. Yet he believed the reports that he had been told that Jesus had given sight to the blind. No doubt he had heard many people tell this account as they passed through, that they'd seen Jesus do this. They knew the men that he had healed. And Bartimaeus weighed all of this up and thought about it. And Bartimaeus was at this point surrounded by a huge, noisy crowd. He hadn't got down there the night before to hear Jesus speaking to Zacchaeus. And so it's doubtful that he'd ever heard Jesus even speak a single word. Yet he believed that Jesus only had to speak a word and a blind man would receive sight. I wonder if that reminds you of someone. Someone who was saved even though they'd never seen Jesus in the flesh or heard him speak audibly to them. Does it remind you of anybody? It reminds me of myself. When I became a Christian, it wasn't because I'd seen Jesus. I'd been to Sunday school. I had a godly Sunday school teacher. And he, over the years, patiently explained the gospel. We studied the scriptures. And we learned of all the wonderful things that Jesus had done. And I also was blessed to know other people who told me of what Jesus had done for them and how he had transformed their lives, and that he could do the same for me. I'd never heard Jesus' voice, but as I read his word, he spoke to me about my sin and of my need for him as my saviour. And so one evening in a small chapel in Cornwall, a preacher told me that the same Jesus who I'd heard about in Sunday school and whose words had convicted me of my sin and convinced me of a need for a saviour was willing to save me that very night if I was willing to cry out to him. And I remember I went home that night and went into my bedroom in our cottage, and I just dropped down onto my knees and cried out that the Lord would come into my life, that he would cleanse me of my sin, that he would be my saviour, and that he would help me to follow him all the rest of my days. Well, that was in October 1973. That's a blessed time for me, that the Lord saved me. My mum, she's 90 now, she would say to you, "Well, my Paul was a good boy. He never caused me any problems." Well, my mum doesn't know my heart and the need for a saviour. But the Lord saved me back then. And you know, that's true of each and every one of you here this evening, if you are a Christian. It's what Peter tells us in 1 Peter 1:8 to 9. "Whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls." That's true if you're a Christian here tonight. I think it's true of what I know of those that you are Christians. There wasn't anything big and dramatic. There might have been some crisis, but generally speaking, you came along to church or to Sunday school, and over a period of time, the Lord became more and more precious to you, and you cried out to him, and he came and cleansed you from your sin, and in the Holy Spirit dwells in your heart. He is our mediator between God and man. I wonder if you came here this evening in anticipation that you would read something about Jesus and that the preacher would tell you something about Jesus, but yet Jesus is still a stranger to you because, unlike Bartimaeus, you've never cried out to him to forgive you and to save you from your sin. Well, the good news is that the Lord Jesus is here this evening. He's here to listen to the cries of those who will cry out to him and save him, to save us from our sins. And how do we cry out to the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, it's here in Mark 10, verse 48. "Son of David, have mercy upon me." This is the cry of a genuinely repentant sinner who acknowledges that he is spiritually bankrupt. And just like a desperate beggar, we need to ask God to show us mercy. And this is the cry of someone who acknowledges that they deserve absolutely nothing from Christ except to be cast into hell and punished eternally for their sins. But yet they know that he has compassion and pity for the truly penitent. And of course, that is a theme of Mark's gospel, the compassion of Jesus for the sinner. And finally, my third point is that a true faith is a persistent faith. And it's one of the distinguishing characteristics of true faith that it continues when false faith fails. Yes, Bartimaeus, he heard the rebukes from the people in that crowd, but he was not going to be silenced. Jesus, the Messiah, was passing by, and he would never, ever walk through Jericho again. And so, instead of being cowed and silenced by the crowd, he cries out again, "Son of David, have mercy upon me." We can sense the desperation in his voice. And so, what happened? Well, in the midst of all that noise, surrounded by masses of people, Jesus hears the desperate cry of faith. Think about it. There was a huge number of people there. They all wanted to speak to him. The noise level must have been incredible. There would have been people shouting out. They wanted healing, all sorts of things. Yet the Lord Jesus Christ especially tunes in on blind Bartimaeus. And this is what we read in Psalm 34:6. "This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles." Jesus listens. Indeed, I would say Jesus was listening out for blind Bartimaeus. He went to Jericho, and we only have recorded in the Gospels that he saved two people. One was Zacchaeus, and the other was Bartimaeus. Jesus was there to save those that God had elected unto salvation. And he was waiting to hear that cry of that poor blind beggar. And suddenly it says that Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Verses 49 to 50. Suddenly the tune of the crowd is changed. And they say, and they called the blind man, saying to him, "Be of good cheer, rise up, he is calling you." There's no hesitation on Bartimaeus's part. He throws aside the cloak, the begging cloak that he had around him, and he rises up and he came to Jesus. I saw a painting of this incident, and there was somebody taking Bartimaeus by the hand because he was blind, and guiding him, and he's grasping hold of Jesus' arm. He comes up and he grasps on him. That's a picture of faith, of course, isn't it? That Bartimaeus was a poor, blind beggar, but in faith he grasped the Lord Jesus Christ. Mark 10:50. "So Jesus answered and said to him, 'What do you want me to do for you?'" And there he is before the one who is deity incarnate, the Son of God, who is able to perform a miracle. And this blind beggar is there holding on to him. You know, it's really wonderful because Bartimaeus had simply cried out to Jesus to have mercy upon him. That's all that he asked for. Jesus could have said, "Be blessed, be well fed, clothed, warm," which of course would have been hypocrisy. Jesus had a heartfelt compassion for this poor blind beggar. And so Jesus goes beyond merely uttering a few cliches or platitudes. Jesus asks him a question. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asks a question not because he doesn't know what Bartimaeus wants. Of course he knows what he wants. He's there for Bartimaeus. But he wants him to articulate what it is that he wants. Now I wonder what we would have wanted. I wonder what many people in this world would have wanted if they were put in this position. Here is Jesus, and he's asking him, "What do you want me to do for you?" Well, he could have asked for riches. He could have asked for a grand house to live in, all the food that he could ever eat. He could have said, "Could you make it possible that I could have servants and that they would then be able to lead me wherever I need to go, who would care for me for the rest of my life. That might have seemed to be a reasonable request, considering that he was poor and that he was blind, that he'd want all that this world could provide for him comfortably until he died. If he'd have been asking for that, that would have been a very impoverished request. You see, if he'd have asked for that, there's many people living in Jericho who could have actually granted that request. There were many wealthy people, and a wealthy benefactor, if they were inclined to do so, they could have provided that for Bartimaeus. They could have bought him a house, they could have hired servants, and they could have ensured that maybe there was a trust fund set up for him that would care for him for the rest of his life. But he's not interested in any of that. No, he asks for that one thing which only the King of Kings and Creator of heaven and earth can give. And so he says in verse 51, Rabboni, or Rabbi, or Master, that I may receive my sight. We can imagine that Jesus calls this blind beggar to him. And so he's guided to Jesus and he's holding on to Jesus. And the crowd that before was shouting and crying and all of that tumult, now it's silent. And there's a gasp at the audacity of this blind beggar. How dare he ask this? Just a few minutes before, he'd been sat in the dust on the side of the road. And now he's standing before Jesus, asking that he'd be given sight. Who is he to ask this? Well, of course, if Bartimaeus had asked any other rabbi in Jericho, of which there would have been many, they would have laughed in his face. They would have said, I'm not God. Who are you to ask that question, you stupid man? And they would have driven him away. Why? Well, because what he was asking for was humanly impossible. No man then or now has the power to restore the sight of a blind man just by speaking a word. But what is impossible for man is possible for the Son of God. You see, in this account of Bartimaeus, we see Jesus' deity on display. And what we need to remember here is the one who spoke creation into being. He is the one that is responding in pity and compassion to the faith of this blind beggar. And by just a word, the Lord Jesus creates new eyes for a blind man. It's remarkable, isn't it? That he who spoke creation into being, who created the universe, everything that we see, the planets and the stars and all the beauty of this earth, the mountains and the seas, all the creatures that populate this earth, all the beauty, the wind and the waves, all of those things that he spoke into being. This God, this Christ speaks, and a blind beggar receives new eyes. And there's no drama here. Jesus doesn't make clay and anoint his eyes as he did with the blind man at the pool of Siloam. He doesn't spit on his eyes as he had done in Bethsaida. He just says here, verse 52, go your way, your faith has made you well. And Bartimaeus' faith was well founded, because it was founded on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the true Christian is someone who was once spiritually blind until God worked the miracle of saving grace in their heart. It's what Paul says in Ephesians 2, 8 to 9, "For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Isn't it sad that when there is grace so full and free, that we should think that we need to contribute something to our salvation? Why is it that we think that we need to justify ourselves? Friends, the only thing we contribute to our salvation is the sin that put Christ on the cross. Bartimaeus, here is a picture of a man who had absolutely nothing to give to Jesus. He could contribute nothing except to say, "Lord, have mercy on me." And what I really love about this account is to think about it and reflect upon it, as I've done over the last week. And when Jesus created those new eyes for Bartimaeus, what was the first thing that those eyes focused upon? Well, of course, it would have been the Lord Jesus Christ. That was the first thing he saw, Jesus' wonderful faiths. And that's what happens spiritually, that when our spiritual eyes are opened, we see Jesus, Son of David, Lord of heaven and earth, in all his glorious majesty, with power to save from sin and death and hell. It's what we read in 2 Corinthians 4:6. "For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." How amazing, how wonderful, that for blind Bartimaeus, the first things that those new eyes focused upon was the face of his Saviour. And so how does this account finish? Well, verse 52. "And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road." This is a confirmation of a genuine profession of faith. Jesus didn't actually command him to follow him. But there was such a work of faith here, because we need to understand that not only was Bartimaeus receiving new eyes, but there was a new heart. This is a picture of the new birth. This is a man who's had a work of grace, and Christ transforms him. And it's the true Christian that follows Christ wherever Christ leads them. And you know, I think in the case of Bartimaeus, that would have been up to Jerusalem. Bartimaeus, no longer the blind beggar, but a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because within a few days of this event, this amazing miracle that's recorded here in Mark chapter 10, Jesus was to suffer and to die on the cross for our sins. I wonder if Bartimaeus was one of those faithful disciples who gazed upon the Lord Jesus Christ as he hung on Calvary's cross. On that cross, bearing my sins and your sins, the sinless, spotless, innocent Lamb of God dying to bear the sins of the world. Well, may we, like Bartimaeus, upon receiving his sight, follow the Lord Jesus Christ wherever he may lead us. Where will he lead us this week? Well, Christian, will you be praying that the Lord Jesus will lead you to speak to a sinner who needs a saviour? Will you be praying that the Lord Jesus Christ will lead you to speak to someone and to share the gospel with them? But also, friend, those of you who are still strangers to God's mercy, what will you do? Well, I pray that you too will come to know him, that you will cry out to him. Do you know that that is a prayer that Jesus will never ignore, the prayer of genuine faith, the faith that is a gift from God, that when you cry out asking, he will forgive you, that he will become your saviour, he will transform your life. He will do that. If you want to talk about these things, do speak to Paul or Ben, maybe arrange for Paul to come and see you perhaps during the week. He'll be glad to do that.